Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Gorgeous Reads. Today we have the brilliant delight of having Ali Aziri, who has edited Shakespeare for every day of the year. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Ali.
Well, thank you for having me here.
Tell me about your love of poetry, because you have been credited with bringing poetry into the digital age. So you've got poetry apps, and you've edited two other volumes of poetry, for one for every day and one for every night. Tell me about why you are infected with poetry and you would like us all to catch the disease.
It was a childhood love, really. My favorite book when I was a child was an anthology. It was called The Golden Treasury by someone called Louis Untermeyer. And I think I came back to it as an adult. I think one often maybe reaches back to what one loved as a child and rediscovers it as an adult. And the first thing I did was I made a couple of poetry apps. I think when apps first came out, I suddenly thought, oh, I could make a poetry app with famous poems and actors reading them, because you could do that on an app. And you could search in different ways and find a poem for bedtime, or a poem about war, or a poem read by Helena Bonham Carter or Tom Hiddleston, who they read on my poetry app, which is called The Love Book, which is a selection of all different poetry about love. And then Macmillan asked me if I would make a poetry book for them. And we came up the idea together of doing a poem for every night of the year. So it is really what it says on the tin, which is a poem for each and every day of the year, and a little intro why it may sit there. And then that book did well. So then we made a poem for every day of the year. And now here we are with Shakespeare for every day of the year.
And there's something about poetry similar to opera. We have this idea that it's inaccessible, it's for other people, it's for older people. People in World War I like poetry. Why should I like poetry now?
Well, I think many things on this, but I shall try and think of one or two. I think we all like poetry when we're little. So no one's scared of a nursery rhyme, and everyone loves a nursery rhyme, a playground chant, even a football chant. And then poetry is often ignored until much, much later, and then you're maybe suddenly past a quite tricky poem by, say, Keats, age 16, and you look at it and panic or think you don't understand it. But you might hear a poem at a wedding or a funeral and be very moved by it and be very pleased to hear a poem you might not have heard for years. So I think people like poetry more than they might think they do. And what my books are trying to do is not present the impossibly impenetrable, but demystify and just say, here's a poem for Valentine's Day, or here's a poem for Mother's Day. And many of them are simple, many of them are funny, and it's just a different way in. And it shouldn't be something that anyone's scared of, because there's so many poems for so many different people.
And also, one a day is an accessible amount.
Yeah, that's so true. I think you could look at a big fat poetry book and think, whoa, where would I even start? And it just seems unyielding. And a poem for every day, one might just think, what's on Father's Day, because I'd like to steal something for a Father's Day card, or what's on my birthday and I'm going to read that. And or just what's the poem for every day of the year? And families tell me they read one at breakfast time, and then people tell me they read one to their boyfriend every night before they go to sleep. And so, exactly, you could just pick one.
Or if you're like me, everybody loves a bathroom book.
Or a bathroom book.
You're there every day, yeah. Dip in, dip out. Okay, so then why Shakespeare? I mean, Shakespeare is another one of those things, like poetry and opera, we think, ooh, that's going to be a bit hard.
Yes, well, hopefully, again, this is an extract for every day of the year, so it might be a sonnet, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day, or it might be an extract from a play, Macbeth's Tomorrow, 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 or To Be or Not to Be, and then many which are less familiar, and they'll fit on the day. So it might be autumn is arriving around now, and here's a beautiful sonnet about the coming of autumn, or it might be, you might learn something about Shakespeare along the way. So he married on this day, and here is a love poem. Or he had one son called Hamnet, with an N, who died when he was 11. And we know the date of his burial. So it was a really, really sad speech that Constance in King John says when she thinks she's lost a son. And it just made me think maybe Shakespeare wrote this with the loss of his son in mind. We don't know. So again, I hope there's a way in. There's an introduction on each page, which is like a little window. I think when you go into an art gallery, you might choose to read the introduction on the wall, or you might not. And I think the same, I've done something similar with these books. So you can read the introduction as a way in, and it is hopefully demystifying, or enchanting, or interesting, or funny, or I hope you like them. And then there's the verse. Or you could ignore it and just read the verse.
And how much research did you have to do for this book? You're saying, I mean, I did not know what you just said, that Shakespeare had a son named Hamnet who died when he was 11. How much were you steeped in this and then had to sort of step back and demystify it for the non-Shakespearean expert?
Well, it's been nearly 3 years of really happy research. I've read books, I've listened to podcasts, I've interviewed actors, Shakespeare scholars, and I had to be like a magpie. So which piece would be of interest to the wider reading public and which piece should go where? So a giant puzzle, a huge research, and I had to sort of just take things. Yeah, I feel like I've been like a magpie, which actually Shakespeare himself was. So there is not a plot that he didn't steal. Every play, apart from one, and possibly only because we haven't discovered yet, he took from another source.
Nothing new under the sun.
There is. Yeah, so true.
So tell me, okay, so immediately when I received the book, and any sort of annual or, you know, birthday style book, immediately I went to birthdays in my family. And my husband's was an interesting one that was on October 20th. And that was a poem, I'm opening it now, from Henry VI, Part 2, Act 2, Scene 4. On October 20th, 1441, Eleanor, Duchess of Gloucester, appeared before the Council of Crown accused of witchcraft, whereof some she denied and some she granted. Shakespeare's play suggests she was tricked into practicing witchcraft. Her husband, Gloucester, fails to protect her from banishment despite his role as Lord Protector to young Henry VI. And then there is her speech. That's why that one on October 20th?
Because historically, we know that this is what happened to poor Eleanor, Duchess of Gloucester. And what's really interesting that comes up in other parts of the book is after Elizabeth dies, during Shakespeare's reign, Elizabeth I is on the throne, and then she dies, and James VI of Scotland becomes James I of England. And he's obsessed with witches and witchcraft. He writes books about it. It's a really, really big deal for him. So it's possibly why Shakespeare writes Macbeth, and he has his witches. And there's this character who's accused of witchcraft, which many, many women were. And so I think the whole witches, I sort of try and present them because, again, this Duchess, she's got a very good speech, and the witches are obviously, you know, famously brilliant, When Shall We Three Meet Again, and that people know him from childhood. But also that there was, you know, perhaps possibly a reason why he was writing it, to please the king.
Yeah.
And I loved discovering all that and sharing all of that.
And perhaps bringing in what we do know, Macbeth's witches, for one we might not.
Yes, poor her, the Duchess of Gloucester. I think there's many plays that we do know. And in this book, I've put in something from all of the plays. So there's more from the more well-known plays. But I absolutely wanted to include something from the less known. Henry VI, Part 2, is really not one of his most well-known. But they're all brilliant. And there's bits in it that I thought were very good. And especially the women's. Shakespeare is absolutely brilliant at writing women, which is a pleasure to talk about on Radio Gorgeous.
And unusual for the time.
Really unusual for the time. He writes more women than his contemporaries. He writes every woman differently. It's not as if there's a standard woman in Shakespeare play. Portia is different from Rosalind, who's different from this Duchess, who's different from Juliet, Cleopatra. So he's brilliant at writing women. He really gives them a point of view. He writes this incredibly famous poem in his lifetime, The Rape of Lucrece, when poor Lucrece, from the famous myth, so poor Lucrece gets raped by her husband's friend. But in Shakespeare's poem, he gives her these words when she says, I will not be silent. I will speak out and I will not be silent. I'm going to speak of this. And it could have been written today, and there's been a Me Too movement.
And it that just gave me chills, because it's also needed today, that we need all of our voices and we need to hear them. And if you read that one day, it might apply to your everyday.
Yes, I think Shakespeare has something to say on pretty much everything, on love, on politics, on racism, on being a woman, on being a parent, on loss, on hope. There is something in everything. And I think that the words, just like I've done with my other poetry books, I think if you know these words and they're inside your head, a little iPod of brilliant words, you can draw on them in times of need. And you might draw on them because you're angry about how women are being treated, or you want to draw on them because you just need some help in some way, or you want to draw on them to share with a friend, a child, a parent. And they are the best words. So Coleridge famously said, poetry is the best words in the best order. And I think if we have them and we can read them and we can even learn them, then it's just such a gift. And I think if you know them and recite them, I think it makes you feel a few inches taller.
Can you make us feel a few inches taller and give us a reading?
Oh, yeah, with pleasure. Wonder what would be a nice one to read. Shall I just open it up? Oh, actually, I wonder if I should read that Lucrece that I spoke about. So in the book, there's a few extracts. But in the book, I stop. So sometimes there might be dates which are relevant to Shakespeare's lifetime or Valentine's Day or a date of a particular war. But around International Women's Day, I pick a couple of things. And these are the lines in this long narrative poem when Lucretia is furious and defiant. And here she is. So she's furious, defiant, and resolving to overcome her shame and secure justice for her irredeemable suffering. And these are the few lines from the poem. For me, I am the mistress of my fate, and with my trespass never will dispense till life to death acquit my forced offence. I will not poison thee with my attaint, nor fold my fault in cleanly coined excuses. My sable ground of sin I will not paint to hide the truth of this false knight's abuses. My tongue shall utter all, mine eyes like sluices, as from a mountain spring that feeds a dale, shall gush pure streams to purge my impure tale.
That's absolutely beautiful. And it is everything that we say. I will be heard. I will not own what has been done to me, but I will own my voice. And I will speak about it until I have expunged it from me.
It's so powerful, isn't it? And that's Shakespeare. Shakespeare giving her these lines. He was a friend to us.
And he knew about therapy. He knew about talk it out.
I think he just knows about the human condition, and he was a genius. You know, I mean, we shouldn't bandy that word around, but you know, hey.
Do you think that's one of the reasons that he was such, he understood the human condition, both male and female? He understood it in the round. Do you think that's why he's endured?
I think as well, he also leaves space. So anyone who plays, say, Hamlet makes the part his own. He writes these amazing lines and it's all there. But there's also a lot of space for how you might deliver it. So I think it's evolved over time, and different people in different eras have stood up and presented, say, Kate, Catherine in Taming of the Shrew as a victim, or, as someone more defiant, and he also, interestingly, writes for all the classes. They were in his audience at the Globe, we know, and they're on the stage. And they're not small parts. The nurse in Romeo and Juliet, they're parts, Bottom and all the mechanicals in the Sunlight Street. he writes for everyone. And again, I think more so than his contemporaries, and better. He was even acknowledged in his lifetime that Ben Jonson, who was his friend and fellow playwright, sort of says, and it's really interesting that it was recognised even then, you know, he's not, he's for all time. And yes, I imagine that's why he's endured. You know, we're lucky.
And speaking of time, if you are time poor or enjoy the voices of such luminous actors of our day, the audio version of the book is also coming out and features some really...
Yeah, it's really fabulous. I've been in the studio listening to them. So there'll be an audiobook available at Audible, iTunes, wherever you buy your audiobook. And it's a stellar cast. It's Simon Russell Beale, Damian Lewis, Helen McCrory,
yes,
Papa Essiadu, Jada Nuka, Hattie Morahan lead the cast. They read some together. So Damian Lewis and Helen McCrory read the Macbeths, Antony and Cleopatra.
And they are married, who don't know that.
Yeah, in real life they're married. So here they're either, in these parts, they're flirting and fighting and squabbling and dying and doing everything. And Simon Russell Beale, who's recently been knighted, of course, is absolutely brilliant and is our greatest Shakespearean actor. So it was such an honour that they said yes, about the most thrilling day that I've had on this. And hearing them in the studio is amazing, and it's literally being cut together now, and it's out, this week. This week.
Tell me about that experience, because you've spent 3 years living, breathing, researching, inhabiting Shakespeare, and this is your call, as it were, and you've put a huge amount of your own writing into these introductions. Each and every page you have given, if, as you say, if we want to, a full starting point and background and context to the reading and why it's there on that day. What does it feel like to then have that, you know, there's sort of, it's sort of like being a parent, because, you know, your kids are their own people, but you certainly shepherd them on the way.
Yes, give them rings, let them fly. I think it's exciting when it goes out in the world and you get to have a launch party. And I'm doing a show at the National Theatre in November where actors will come and read them all. And so I'm just determined that this is going to be the fun bit. and hearing the actors read them was, that was definitely, it was a total privilege, a joy. And I felt that was an amazing reward. And I can't wait to share that with people. So maybe people will listen to them on the way to work or on the school run or just wherever people are wandering around with them.
I have an idea that it would make a great Christmas present, like a family present, because it is something for everyone. It's an accessible chunk, a discussable chunk. As you say, Shakespeare leaves some room around it, so there's room for discussion as well, interpretation and joy.
Yeah, I hope so. I think I've heard before with my other books that people have given them as a present for a whole family, and people can just, around the family, what's on your birthday or what's the poem today? And someone else told me that she climbed a mountain and they took the book and every night when they stopped around the fire, they read, what's the poem for today? And so, the idea that this Shakespeare for every day of the year will be travelling around and end up in people's homes or on mountains, it's thrilling. Yeah, thrilling. I'm very excited.
Thank you so much, Ali. And for more thrilling women, please go to www.radiogorgeous.com.